Where in the world are our podcast extras? Yeah. Netflix has Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
The original?
The cartoon.
Oh.
I know. Like the original cartoon, right? That was on WB or whatever?
I didn't know it was a cartoon. I only knew of it as the...
Oh, seriously?
The game show.
Yeah, it was a game show.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was a game show. I only knew the cartoon. Generational differences.
Talk about a generation. Yeah, because
I wonder if the theme song's the same, because it was all about the theme song.
That Rockefeller. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, no. When I was a kid, it was a cartoon, and it was a woman singing, where is Carmen Sandiego? Carmen Sandiego, where on earth could she be?
I do remember that theme song, but I don't think I ever really watched it.
Oh, I watched it from time to time.
But it was just a game show back when we were young. That
and you had to find Carmen Sandiego.
That was the whole point. Where was she?
Oh, no.
They give you landmarks and stuff.
Yeah.
You had to guess where the landmark was.
What a small world.
That's weird.
Weird. Liam was asking me about it the other day because it was on Netflix. He's like, hey, let's watch this. And I got excited thinking it was a game show. And I'm like, it's a cartoon. I don't want to watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
I did not know it was anything but a cartoon.
Yeah, man. All right. So this week we're off on the radio. So what we've been doing is we've been doing special podcast extras.
Special edition.
Sharing with you just kind of some stories. Like right now we're doing like party stories. Like this is a story that you could tell in a party and people would love to hear.
Yeah. Something about you that everyone might not know, but it's like one of your go-to stories when you first meet new people.
Right. And Jackson, it's your turn. So let's hear it, man.
All right. So I was 16 years old. I had just gotten a new phone. The Sidekick had just come out. This is before smartphones were a thing. And this thing could connect to the internet. It took about 400 years to load a Facebook page. It was the slowest thing on earth. And data was outrageously expensive. But it could do it.
Yep.
And that was like mind-shattering technology at the time. Well, my brother got a Sidekick and then ended up not liking it and wanted a different phone. So I was like, well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I took his phone and I just switched to the SIM card because back in the day, that's all it took to like switch. You just put your SIM card in there and then all of a sudden your phone number and everything was there.
It was a piece of plastic.
Yeah, it was so easy. But this was different technology. He had registered it to himself. So I had to call T-Mobile and I had to get my SIM card switched by them. Get my number switched by them, which is normal now, but back then it was really strange.
Yeah.
So I called him, and I was like dying to get my phone switched on so I could take it to school and all this. I call him, and they were like, who is this? I go, my name's Jackson. They're like, you're not authorized to make changes on this account. And I was like, it's my mom's account. I can change it. They're like, no, your mom has to call. So I hang up. I call again, and I pretend to be my mom because I used to get mistaken for my mom on the phone all the time. Me and my mom had the exact same voice. The exact same voice. So I always got called Mrs. Alexander.
Okay.
All the time as a kid.
Okay.
Like, it was a problem. It did some lasting emotional damage. But in this case, it worked out for me. So I got through, and they were like, who is this? I'm like, oh, I'm Becky Alexander. Ooh. And that sounded just like that. And they were like, oh, okay, what's the last four of your social security? Just so that we can... I was like, are you for real? So I was like, I don't remember. So I had to hang up. And I called back. So while I'm on the line waiting for an operator to pick up, I'm digging through my family's important files.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing. Most people have a file cabinet with like separated folders and tabs, and it's easy to find things. That's not how my family ran things. We were chaos.
Uh-huh.
So instead, we just jammed all of our important files into one drawer, and it was just like a pile. So if you wanted something, you had to dig through it. So I'm trying to find my mom's social security card. And I'm digging, and they answer, and I go through the security questions, and then they get to the social, and I'm like frantically looking for my mom's social security card. And I come across this piece of paper that says, I'm going to make up a name here. I, Ryan White, the natural born father of a male child born March 16th, 1991, do hereby surrender my rights. I was like, my birthday is March 16th, 1991. What is this?
Whoa.
These are the papers that my biological father... who I had never heard of, who I had never known.
You didn't know.
I didn't know. I was 16. I had no idea that the dad that raised me was not my biological father.
So you were raised by a man.
I was raised by,
who you called dad.
Is my dad to this day. Is my dad. But I didn't know he was not my biological father, and I found out at 16 when I found my adoption papers.
That is heavy.
Isn't that crazy? So the paper at the top says consent to adopt, and my first thought is, God, I hope they're not getting another one because I don't like the ones they have. And I read it, Ryan White, apparently my biological father. I'm like, I'm going to call you back, and I hang up on T-Mobile for a third time, by the way. So then I call my mom. I read through the papers like a million times. I'm like, this can't be right. So I call my mom, who's at work. We're living in Layton. She's working in Brigham City,
which is
like a journey.
Yeah.
It's like back in the day, it would take an ox and a cart like a day to get up there.
Right.
So I call my mom. She goes, what's going on? You're worrying me. And I go, who's Ryan White? She goes, can we talk about this when I get home? I go, I guess, and I'm being all dramatic because I'm 16 and moody and just, my parents and the world is terrible. Bah.
Yeah. Well, that's a big moment, man.
Yeah.
So, but could you imagine, like, my mom?
Oh, my God.
Up in Brigham City. So she has to finish her three hours of her shift, and then it's another hour to get home.
Just
so
thinking.
We're sitting with 4 hours, and she's just trying to, like, what would I tell this kid? So,
you have that report done yet?
Yeah. She gets home. We take the other two out for ice cream. My brother and sister, we get them ice cream. We drop them off at the house and we sit in the car. And I'm in the passenger seat. We're not really looking. We're just kind of driving around town, not really saying anything. And keep in mind, whenever I'm in the car with my mom, it usually ended up like being bad news. So, like, I came out to my mom in the car.
Okay.
My mom told me my grandpa died in the car. Like, but it turns out that it's a really good place to tell people something that's unpleasant to hear.
Well, you're trapped.
Because you're trapped.
Yep.
You could turn up the radio in case there's awkward silences. You can't. They can't get out.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make eye contact, which is like the biggest one.
Yeah.
That way you can just kind of, you know, talk and at your own time.
Yeah.
So if you have bad news, tell people in the car.
Hey, bed.
So my mom's like, are you ready to hear the story? And I'm like, I was ready as I'd ever be, I guess.
Yeah.
She goes, so I was 16 at the time, and I was dating this guy named Ryan for a few months. And one day I'm driving through our small town, and we're from a really small town. And she's like, and this girl that I had never seen stepped out in front of my car, and she had all these crazy colored hair, which at the time was not, you know, socially acceptable.
Yeah.
This really thick eyeliner. And she steps out in front of my car, puts her hand up. I stop the car to see what she has to say because I've never seen her, and she's just a scary, crazy-looking lady. She comes around the side. She makes me roll down my window, and she says, I hear you've been messing around with my man Ryan. Do it again, and I'll slit your throat. And she comes to find out that this woman flew all the way from California to tell her to stop messing with this guy Ryan.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So my mom's like, all right, broke up with him. Then a month later, finds out that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. Hello. At 16, after being threatened with death.
Right.
So she waits until she has me. She goes in to tell Ryan. He's like, no way. That's not my baby. That's not. And by this point, she's met my dad, the dad that raised me. And so she's like, look, man, it's your kid. If you want to be involved, you can be involved if you want to. And he goes, well, I want a paternity test. So we get a paternity test. Turns out I am his. And he goes, all right, well, I want to be involved. Well, his version of being involved was taking me on fishing trips. I'm a baby. Babies don't go fishing.
Yeah, right?
Babies don't need to go fishing.
No.
You take a baby fishing.
If you ask my husband, though.
Yeah, babies go fishing.
Yeah.
So Ryan, I guess my dad took, Ryan took me and my dad out fishing a couple times, but I was really kind of too young to remember it. And then money got really tight, and my mom was just like, look, if you want to be involved, you have to start paying your way because we can't afford to have you just be the fun dad. Like,
yeah.
If you want, we either need to have Gary, my dad, adopt him, or you need to start paying a little bit of child support. And he decided to go to court and had his rights terminated.
Wow.
And my dad raised me. So we're in the car. She tells me this whole story, and she's just like, and you can hate me if you want, but I'm, and then I start sobbing. I'm like, I don't hate you.
Yeah.
And we just like started crying and crying and crying. So fast forward, I'm 19. This is 3 years later. I just like, you know what? I'm not really interested in finding out about Ryan. I'm not all that, you know, it's fine. He's not my dad. I had a dad. I had a mom. Pretty happy. It's not really all that important to me to track him down. Well, then Ryan's dad, who is like a million years old, gets onto my Facebook and comments on my profile photo, not a private message, by the way, comments on my profile photo, "We've been looking for you for 18 years.
Oh, whoa.
And it turns out the family's been trying to find me forever. So I like go to his page. I'm just like, it seems like he exclusively had joined Facebook just to find me. Because I saw as I went through his feed, he commented on a bunch of different Jackson Carters that weren't me. He had written on all of their walls, "Are you Becky's son?" Like, he was trying to find me really aggressively. Aww. So ended up meeting up with that family. And, you know, they're cool. Like, we meet up every now and then. But, they're, you know.
Yeah.
So now I just have, like, three cool families to hang out with instead of two, which is pretty rad. But yeah, that was how I found out that I was adopted and my dad wasn't my biological dad.
Have you ran into Ryan White then within this time? You've met him.
Yeah, he's a nice enough guy.
Okay, yeah.
It turns out I have three half sisters.
Okay.
Ranging in age from, I guess now she'd be 18 to the youngest, who's now 4. So over the course of like 20 years, this guy has been having just different, wildly different age children.
Did you notice any nuances that you do in him?
Not necessarily in him, but in my my biological grandma, Linda.
Uh-huh.
Grandma Linda. Let me tell you something about Grandma Linda. She is a hoot.
Yeah.
She was for a long time known as the Worm Lady. I guess I'm doing two stories.
That's fine.
So the Worm Lady, she got famous in our hometown because she developed a way to tie wires to a battery and to nails and shock worms out of the ground. She invented this.
Okay.
And she wrote a book about it and she patented it. And that's how she made her money, was shocking worms and selling them to fishermen. She was just like, I was just really poor one day and had a bunch of kids that I was having a hard time feeding. So I just started shocking worms out of the ground. But, like, it was a good and bad reputation because she was doing it at the cemetery. And people were like, oh, you can't be playing around at the cemetery, girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Those are our relatives.
When you mention Grandma Linda around my hometown, people are like, oh, the Worm Lady. We know her.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And she makes, like, worm cookies. So, like, the third time I ever met Grandma Linda, she was like, hey, have a worm cookie. I'm like, I'm good.
She makes worm cookies?
Yeah, they're like chocolate chip cookies with worm protein.
No.
To this day, she makes them.
No.
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 I'm sorry, Grandma.
But anyways, but I notice a lot. Because so everyone in my family is pretty reserved.
Uh-huh.
They're all like, I'm not going to call them shut-ins, but they're shut-ins.
Yeah.
Like they're just like very private people. They're not super outgoing or anything. And I'm the very opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a star.
Uh-huh.
And so Grandma Linda is very much the same way. She tried to get all of her kids into acting. She made sure they all like got like my biological dad had a TV commercial. All of her kids were involved in some sort of play.
Got it.
They're all very actory and outgoing and friendly. And Grandma Linda's like the ground zero for all that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's where I get it. That's why I'm a little cuckoo.
Got it. It's all Grandma Linda.
It's all Grandma Linda.
What a great story.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm glad it turned out okay.
It turned out okay.
I imagine myself finding out that kind of information at 16 and...
Yeah. Man, yeah. Like, well, and part of my mom said too, so by this time, like I was in a high school at an art school. Like I was really coming into my own. I was really being confident because like all through elementary and middle school, like I just didn't fit in. I didn't have a place and I got picked on a lot. And I was super emotional, like would have just these emotional breakdowns and tantrums and crying. And I couldn't communicate that I was super depressed all the time as a kid. So when I got to high school and I went to an art school and started making friends and stuff, one of the things my mom said to me in the car while she was telling me, she was just like, we wanted to tell you for so long, but you were just such an outcast in school. We didn't want you to feel like an outcast at home. And that's why we didn't tell. She's like, we were going to tell you soon because we just saw such a difference after you went to Da Vinci Academy. We saw what a difference it made in your life and we wanted you to feel welcome at home. She's like, so we were going to do it, but we couldn't stand the thought of you not feeling welcome at home.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so that was like the big thing keeping them from
doing
that.
Can I make a connection story or am I going to get made fun of?
Yeah, please. Are you a worm lady too?
I actually came up with this idea to get worms. No. So my best friend through high school, middle school, high school, I used to hang out with the family a lot. One day, his mom got really drunk.
Yes.
And told me, he wasn't in the room, that the dad wasn't the real dad.
No. We told you before the son?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was
Sounds like a killer mom.
A sophomore.
Really great mom.
She was actually great. Like, and the father knew.
Oh, yeah, they hadn't told him yet.
They just hadn't told him.
But, I mean,
they saddled that
level of responsibility.
Yeah, I don't think she remembered even. She got really wine wasted one night.
Sure.
Where we were sitting around at like a dinner table.
We've all been there.
Not even a
dinner. Yeah, yeah, and told me like that story. And like, I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, I'm not going to be the one to tell my friend, like, hey, by the way, your dad? Not Sign your dad.
Him. It's the milkman.
Yeah, but by the way, this dad. I wish he was my dad. Like, he was such a great guy. Yeah. Like, he was awesome.
So he won, like, the dad lottery after all.
Yeah, he really did. And he didn't find out for another, gosh, 6 or 7 years.
Did you ever tell him
that around?
No, his parents ended up telling him. I waited for his. I was like, you know, it's not my place.
Did you tell him after that you had known for 7 years?
Nope.
I hope he listens to this podcast.
Nope. I just said, you know what? It's one of those.
What's his first and last name? I'll send him a link.
Right. This was one of those secrets I felt like I just had to push to the side.
Yeah, when he comes to you and he tells you, dude.
I just acted shocked and I was there as a friend.
What? No way.
I was like, oh my gosh. What's going through your. Like, I was a friend about it who didn't know anything.
You knew. You
but
knew.
I knew.
You're such a faker.
Would you have told him? I would have. If he would have said that, I'd be like, yeah, I know. That would have been terrible.
I caught my friend's husband cheating on her, and she was pregnant at the time.
Oh, well, you got to tell her that.
And I knew that she wouldn't leave him because her parents had already forced her. She got pregnant before she was married. They forced them to get married. So I knew it wouldn't change anything.
Right.
So I didn't tell her. Still to this day, I didn't tell her. And still to this day,
does it eat you
he'll
up?
Get drunk. And when she leaves the room, he's like, you didn't tell her. I can't believe you didn't tell her. Because they're actually really happily married now, and they have a great family.
Aww.
So we always kind of like...
It worked out.
He looks at me with that guilty face, like, yeah. I know you know, and... If she ever finds out, I think that she will hate me for it, for not telling her, but...
So now it's gone too far.
Yeah. Now you gotta just go with it. Yeah. Go with the lie.
Now you don't tell anyone.
Yeah. You would be the one to tell everyone, wouldn't you? On everything.
Not everything. I am a little bit of a tattletale. But, like, I feel like... I wouldn't have told the parent thing.
No, because
that's is family drama outside of my range.
Yeah.
But if it was my friend who was being cheated on, I'd probably be the first to be like, hey, I don't know what you want to do with this. I know it puts you in a bad position, and I don't want you to hate me for this, but I know that I would want to know if you saw this. So here it is.
Don't you always end up getting the one who's screwed in that situation?
Yeah, you really do.
Anytime you're the bearer of bad news,
you're
it
down
never,
if you do, and you're down.
Yeah,
if you don't.
You really are.
Yeah, it's just.
And then
to know
I told
anything.
Her, and then she stayed with the guy, which I know she would have done anyway.
Yeah,
she would have stayed. Then it would have caused a rift in our friendship because I feel like she would have. Thought that I would judge her.
Kind of resented you for it.
Maybe stepped in the marriage or I don't know.
This is why I do the ostrich approach to life where I bury my head. Let me tell you guys, it's fantastic. I'm going to recommend it. You know what? There you go. We won't do an icebreaker.
Yeah,
story
that was
today.
That was a long story.
Powerful.
That was awesome. Thanks again. And again, these are just kind of like little nibbles. Little snacks of our
Get
show.
Get you by while we're gone.
Yeah, we're of course going to be back soon enough. But go back, listen to some of our old podcasts. Maybe you didn't spend so much time listening to our show today, you have extra time to give us a nice review on whatever podcast directory you're listening to.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.